From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 1 week ago today, the dictatorship in Tunisia ended when President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali fled the country with his wife and family. Under his 23-year rule, the Tunisian press was heavily censored. But with Ben Ali's departure, that has changed overnight. Eleanor Beardsley has the story from Tunis.
Last Friday, as tens of thousands of people protested in the street of downtown Tunis demanding that their president leave, the country's national television played Islamic chants while showing verses of the Quran. That surprised no one, says 22-year-old student Mehdi Hashani.
Young people are angry when they watch the Tunisian TV. They don't see what they are seeing in the street.
Hashani says everybody watched French and Arabic cable stations to get their news. His mother, Mufida Hashani, has spent most of her career as an editor at Tunisian state TV. She says the channel did not find the courage to broadcast the footage of the protesters and police violence at first, but on Friday night after Ben Ali fled the country, the station did take on-air calls from angry Tunisians for the first time in its history.
I'm 56 years old, and I have been fighting for all this time. We have never been free to run our stories. It's a victory, but I hope it will be a victory for a long time there, because they are still there, and really we are afraid.
Afraid, says Hashani, of the editors from the Ben Ali regime who are still in place. But today, the family can sit together and watch a real, uncensored news broadcast for the first time on Tunisian television. There have been dramatic changes all over Tunisia since the internet filter came down and the information ministry was abolished. Newspapers that had been forced to put an official photo of the president on their front pages every day were instead printing salacious details of the presidential couple's personal life. A crowd gathers outside a bookshop on Habib Bourguiba Avenue. They're looking in the windows at books on display that were all banned just a week ago. I met the bookshop owner, Selma Jabis, at last Friday's demonstrations right before the government fell. She spoke then about the difficulty of importing foreign literature. Today, she's beaming as she welcomes customers into her store.
We have all the books that were forbidden. It's books about the families of Ben Ali and all books about freedom and about liberty of thinking.
Zaid Hafhouf says he's finally able to get a book written by two French journalists called The Regent of Carthage. It's about President Ben Ali's wife, Leila Trabelsi, a hated figure here. He says everyone has been dying to read it.
I'm very happy. It gives me a good reason to stay in my country. Before, I was planning like to leave because I said to myself, I could not live in such a country where I cannot be free to read what I want.
Not far from the bookstore, the journalists are in an editorial meeting at Radio Mosaïque, one of Tunisia's private stations. While Radio Mosaïque pushed the envelope of what was permitted under Ben Ali's rule, many station employees say they lived in fear, even disc jockey Aladdin Ben Amour.
We didn't have choices to choose our music. We had really sometimes some songs that we had to broadcast them in the radio.
Like the songs of Latifa Arfawi, who was a close friend of the president. Ben Amour says he's deleted all of her songs. And now, he says, he's finally enjoying his freedom and his job. His new favorite artist is rapper El General, who has just been released from prison. Ben Amour puts on El General's scathing ballad about Ben Ali, entitled Mr. President.
If I played that before, I'll be in jail. That's it.
Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Tunis.